Hello, listeners. This is Lee Price.
This is Will Ford from Football 365.
And you're listening smartly to At the Bridge Pod, a Chelsea FC podcast, although I would describe it as the Chelsea FC podcast.
Magical from Eden Hazard! Kai Havertz in the Champions League final! Ivanovic!
Getting in the middle, it's just behind him. Reception by Hakimi. It's
Matic with the ball driver! Takes the net off.
It's time for another episode of At the Bridge Pod, your number one Chelsea FC podcast. Coming up on this episode,
Reece James in plenty of space, and Jackson has given Chelsea the lead.
Oh, welcome back, everyone, to another episode of At the Bridge Pod, and I'm joined in a virtual room filled with lions. I have got Berth, and I have got the man who found his way to the top of the ocean. It is Ollie. He's no longer underwater. We can confirm his time in the submarine is over. What was your moment from the weekend? Both of you.
My moment from the weekend was my honeymoon. As you well know, I did it in the city of Atlantis.
Yes. Great weather. Great weather.
Wonderful weather. Bit wet for my taste, but you know, it worked out.
But you live in the UK. You're used to the wet weather.
Exactly. I live in Cardiff, so I basically am still underwater for what it's worth. Man. What about you, Berth?
Well, it was actually my dad's 77th birthday yesterday.
Wow.
And he is the original OG Berth. He's the original Chris Burford. He's got the same name as me, or I've got the same name as him. So, I'll give him a shout out. I never really shout him out on the pod. So,
shout out.
It was his birthday yesterday. Friend
of the show.
Shout out to Burford Sr.
Bloody right.
Without him, none of this would happen. So
that is fair. Yeah,
that's
that
very true.
Bloody
isn't that
fair.
A weird thought?
Yeah. Very weird thought. Let's move on rapidly. Actually.
Yeah, right. For me, Friday night, I got to see the Northern Lights from the comfort of my own garden. Honestly, it was beautiful. It was spectacular, and it was breathtaking. And damn, I will say I love this planet. I really do. And seriously, we need to look after it. Right. But I will say, everyone's waiting for a football highlight. Mine was also a beautiful natural occurring event, and it was the Old Trafford waterfall, just like the Northern Lights. We don't see it often, but when we do, it's pretty special.
I call it Old Tributary now.
It celebrates its 12th anniversary this summer, because I remember...
Theatre of Streams.
I remember seeing it during the 2012 Olympics, so... Glazers not spending money to get it fixed. Oh, never change.
Can I just say, by the way...
In over a decade as well. That's really bad.
Yeah.
That is bad. But can I just say, right, yesterday, I reckon it's probably the worst day of football I've ever seen. Two playoff games, one Premier League game, one goal.
Oh, classic football. Proper that football, bad. That. Proper
that is
football.
Not a Super Sunday. That's such a hurt to yesterday.
You know,
that's just a Sunday.
It was because Manchester United were playing Arsenal and not Chelsea. It would have been more chaotic and more enjoyable. But we've been there. We don't need to do that again. We don't need a highlight reel of that. Right. Guess we're going to hit some news. There is some news. Who doesn't love kicking off a show with some financial reports? This time it's David Ornstein, who's confirmed that Chelsea don't need to sell before buying players this summer. But he said they don't need to make sales to comply for 2023-24. The cutoff is obviously June. They will need to make sales to comply for 24-25. That runs till January of 31st, I think that cutoff is. So there we go. Anyway, my point on this is... In a completely unrelated bit of news, this is now being apparently ruled out that we didn't do any of this, but Chelsea have attempted to sell or have sold their Cobham training ground to themselves. I guess really you've got to ask yourself the question that...
The real question is this. Was all this legal? Absolutely fucking not.
Yeah, I mean it's been ruled out. It's apparently been ruled out that we've done this. But then, of course, Ollie also... caught my eye by telling me that the women's team stake could be being sold. I didn't see that blindsided me totally. I didn't even know that had happened today. I missed that. And let's not start to asset strip now. Bloody hell. Oh, fucking hell. I don't know. Any thoughts on what's potential? We don't know, allegedly. We have no idea.
I'm not getting involved.
Gossip. It's pure gossip.
I think, to be honest with you, to be honest with you, ignorance is bliss in this sort of thing. Like, you know, you do whatever you want to do, just leave me out of it, and I'm just not going to get involved.
Yes, let's look the other way for now. Yeah, finally, though, be sure, listener, to mark your calendar for next Monday's show, because we've got a bit of a surprise announcement in store that you won't want to miss. For exclusive access, though, to that big reveal, join our Discord community, where the members, they've already got early access to it before the general public. They already know. They're happy. They're listening now. Smug. Oh, aren't you? You're smug right now. Fair play to you.
Yeah, you smug lot, you. We love you.
Right, look, the Discord link is in the description of the episode, so you can click on it, find out for yourself. And more importantly, join an absolutely awesome community, because there are some top, top people in there. And I absolutely love what goes on in that community. It's some really awesome folk. Of course, it's time now for the match report, sponsored by... See you at 5:30, Blues. Nottingham Forest 2, Chelsea 3. We start with the winners. Who we got? How many we got?
I've got three.
Oh, Chris has sent in his list, and I haven't
seen the
list.
I swear to God, if it's
three.
More than three.
Well good. Done, Chris. Thank three you, Chris. Good.
100.
He read the script. He read the script, and he has only one that's the same as mine. That's cool. Right, I'll kick it off with his one winner, and that was Nicholas Jackson. He's on my list as well. That's why I picked him. Did you have him, Ivorio?
Yeah, I did have him.
I didn't, only because you guys were going to pick
boo.
Him.
Right. What's weird with that, though, right? What is weird of Nicholas Jackson being a winner? If he hadn't scored that goal, he probably would have been a loser.
Ooh, yeah. Bloody hell.
I actually don't think he didn't play very well at all. I don't think he's there. But he got the winner, so that's all
yeah.
That matters, really.
No, Chris said that it wasn't his best game, but he came up clutch when it mattered. Love that use of that word. Thanks, Chris. You're definitely friends with me. He showed signs of maturity in his game, maybe. Yeah, I mean, for me, he's one of the greatest transfer busts or flops of all time. I mean, he has 14 goals, 5 assists and 10 yellow cards this season in the Premier League.
He's the best flop ever, isn't he?
He's incredible. I mean, if you are sat there right now and you feel he has not lived up to expectations, then you should hand your opinion card right in at the Bridge Pod HQ, because we'll just dispose of it for you. Look, he might miss some big chances, and he does, but you've got to be a top player with the intelligence to get into the positions in the first place. And 14 goals is absolutely outstanding in what is a developing team in his first full season of professional football. You know what? I kind of would be comfortable in having him as our striker for next season. I think the sample size is there.
Yeah.
I mean, why was he a winner?
I would agree with that.
Why was he a winner for you, Berth?
I just think, I mean, what I like so much about Nicholas Jackson is that he's actually just a complete madman. Like, he genuinely is just nuts. Like, when he scored, he didn't even hesitate. He just ran and jumped into the crowd.
He knows bookings don't count anymore.
Not even a tiny bit, though. He didn't just stand on the hoardings. He literally just ran into the crowd and just started celebrating. He's so lovable. It's mad. It's crazy. I love him. Because he can be shit.
Speaking of bookings, though, I don't know if any of you guys heard this during the game. So Jackson was, like, the fastest player ever to get to, like, 9 yellow cards. And then he hasn't been booked since, like in like 18 matches.
Yeah, because they stopped booking players for dissent.
That's probably why, isn't it?
You watch any time you see the yellow card or the complaining from any player, they get a warning now, not a booking like they used to. It's their standard. Who was a winner for you, Ollie? Because it wasn't Jackson, but that's what you've explained why.
Yeah, it wasn't. I'm going to go with the man, the myth, the legend. Oh, captain, my captain. Oh. Reece James.
Yeah, he's on mine.
Because he was also on Chris's, not on mine. Sorry.
Out for however long with yet another devastating injury, and to then drop a tweet saying see you at 5:30, probably had another knew he was probably getting a little bit of game time. And then to come on and to get the assist for the winning goal within 3 minutes just shows what we've really been missing. In this team, and just like the cross as well, which he made. I don't know if any of you saw this, because I've watched it back a few times. It's like on the bounce from Caicedo's pass, which is a great pass, by the way. It's on the bounce. I don't think anyone else at the club can make that cross. I genuinely don't think so. And so I don't think we win the game without Reece James. And it seems that how much that really meant to him and how much it meant to the team.
Yeah.
And everyone just went mental, and the way we turned it around, it was just great. And I don't think it happens without him. So he's got to have his flowers.
Chris said he was a winner because he looked strong and fit. Brilliant run and cross for the winner, which ultimately decided the match. And he's bloody right. He's bang on. You know, he was the impact. We talk about squad depth. We've talked about our bench looking drier than the Sahara. And look at that bench on Saturday. It looked good. It was starting to flower a bit. I was quite happy with that bench. So, yeah. I think Reece James deserved winner. Any words on it, Berth? Or should we move on to the next one?
I just think the absolute bollocks on that bloke to just tweet, see your R5, just rock up, call as you like. Yeah. I'll come on when you see one down. 3 minutes later, he's on the pitch and he's won us the game. And the cross is outstanding. He looked outstanding. Mm. He looked sharp. And he just, what a performance in such a short time. Yeah. And when he's fit and firing, there's no doubt about it that he's one of the best right backs in the world. And
he shut me up about words. He shut me up about Malo Gusto being first choice right back, hasn't he?
Well, the thing is, though, him and Gusto actually played on the same side, and I don't think there's been much talk about that, but they actually worked really well together.
He did like an underlapping centre back type thing, and Gusto was like the winger slash wing back. It was a really nice dynamic, actually. I was thinking about this actually between James, Gusto, Nonny, and Palmer, we've probably got the strongest right hand side in the Premier League.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, you could have, yeah.
Right, my second winner was Moises Caicedo, because at this rate, he will be sponsoring the winners' portion of our show, because he's no longer quietly becoming our most important player after Cole Palmer. He's hosting a full concert with a 90-minute-long set list. I mean, first of all, you've all touched on it. His pre-assist to get the ball to set up Reece was just outstanding.
Really absolute, nice pass, that.
Perfectly weighted.
Perfect vision. Oh, Xavi would have been proud. And obviously, the ball to Palmer, that could have been an assist. We'll forget that one. And of course, the actual assist to Sterling. I mean, it was a dominant performance. And you know what? I don't care about the price tag, because this guy has improved Chelsea FC in 23-24. I mean, what a player. Hey, it's not all about the money. But what a player. And he's carrying the midfield on his back. And I'm smiling. I couldn't give a shit about the transfer fee. Forget it. Don't care. Was he on your list?
He weren't on mine. No, he was. He wasn't on mine. But he was outstanding again. I think it's such a lazy argument to say, he's been a flop this season. He hasn't. People just say that because they think
it's a really good benchmark to see if people have actually watched us this season.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah,
a flop. Because if they haven't, then you. Like, if they say, you know, he's been a flop, you know they haven't.
Exactly, 100%. Yeah. Ollie, who's your second winner?
My second winner might be slightly controversial, actually, because he might not have had his best game, but I'm actually going to give it to Cole Palmer.
Okay.
I know he didn't necessarily score a goal, and he didn't really do quite as much, I think, as people would have expected him to. But I thought this was a really good example of a game where actually he had a good game despite not scoring a goal. There were a lot of times where he made three, four, five, maybe six times, he made a really incisive, really nice pass into midfield, and not from midfield, like sort of right into the center of the box. And from there, it was kind of miscontrolled a lot. And that was Jackson and a few others who couldn't quite deal with the chances that he was actually putting on the plate. But he was feeding the ball into really dangerous areas. And I just feel like, to a certain degree, if we have like a world-class striker, at least one of those ends up in the top corner. And, you know, not let alone his pass to Mudryk was absolutely outstanding.
Unbelievable.
Well.
Unbelievable. Yeah,
that's true.
No one in the team can make that pass of him.
Yeah, and he's not a winner for me, but credit to Mudryk as well for that run and finish. Really, really solid.
Berth, who's your... Round off your winners for us.
See, I am going to give Mudryk his props, and I'm going to make him my third winner because... It was a fantastic run, and it was a really good finish as well. And he did look lively, and there are still glimpses there. I don't think he's ever going to be this.
You just can't give up on him, can you?
No, but he just shows enough to make me want to believe, and that the pace on him to score that goal is remarkable, and he can be unplayable. He just needs to really, I think his football IQ needs to get better.
He can be unplayable, and he also can be unplayable.
Exactly. But it's exactly. I think you've got to give him praise because it was a good goal, and he started us off on the front foot, and he he always works hard, and he always is a problem. No matter how bad he's, how well he's playing, he's always a problem. He's always a threat because of his pace. So yeah, I'll make him my third winner this week.
All right. Chris's final winner was Nkunku. He thought that he was a game changer, took up really good positions, which caused the Forest defence problems. Hold up play was really good too. Yeah, it was, again, depth in our squad. I mean, hey, maybe injuries did really hurt us. One thing that didn't hurt us though, and it's my final winner, it's my trips to the kitchen. Because I'll tell you right now, every time I leave the goddamn room to make a drink, a goal is scored. It has happened so many times this season.
Mikey, I mean this in the nicest possible way. Stop watching us.
Hey, I've got to watch you to leave the room, though. That's the thing. You're missing the logic. I mean, West Ham, I left just before the half-hour mark to make a coffee, came back, 3-0. I mean, that was positive. We were already, we were winning. But this time, I left the lounge at 2-1 down to come back to see us 3-2 up. I was both very happy and very annoyed. Hey, more trips to the kitchen for me. Ollie, who's your round off your winners?
This is a really interesting winner, because I'm not sure anyone necessarily would have said this. I'm going to give my third winner to Ola Aina.
He had a great game.
Okay. Yeah, he did play well.
I mean, he doesn't play for us anymore, but he had a great game.
Yeah, so it's not for us, it's for the opposition, but I thought he had a really, really, really strong game. We know Cobham makes incredible fullbacks. Like, I thought his physicality was really good. I thought his passing was really good. I always kind of had a feeling he would turn into like a really strong quality player at one stage in his career, and he went off to Italy and whatnot, and now he's come back to the Premier League and he really looks like he's finding his feet. And it's just really nice to see it for a Cobham boy. And to be fair, he totally locked Madueke down, who is ostensibly, according to the statistics at least, one of the best 1v1 mid 1v1 wingers in the league, and he didn't get a sniff.
You know what?
Fair play.
That is perfect segue, because my first loser is my man, Noni Madueke. I mean, he's on here because I felt he had a bad game. That there will be
he's
no
on mine as well.
You know what? There's no bias from me. If you play poor, I will say so. And he didn't have an impact going forward, which is so rare. He was also Chris's loser as well, and he's put his worst game for a while completely locked up by Aina. Ollie was there, very sloppy on the ball and didn't defend as well as he has been. Hopefully just an off day. I mean, he didn't have any impact going forward. He gave the ball away far too much during the game, and it was in some really, really, really bad areas you don't want to do, and it led Forrest to just apply pressure on our back line, and he was rightly subbed off after an hour. It just wasn't his day. Hopefully a one-off, like Chris just touched on. I mean, Berth, anything to add there?
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was just... he was really poor, actually. I just don't think he really got into the game. And he played really well. And when you looked at Callum Hudson-Odoi as well, who I thought was fantastic for Forest, it was a bit like, well, one of them had a point to prove, and Madueke just thought he'd be good enough to do his own thing. But yeah, he was really poor for him. And it's a shame because he has had a real good run of games. I'm sure it'll be a one-off.
I didn't want to make him a loser because I feel like it was more Aina being good than him being bad.
Well, we'll find out. We'll find out, won't we? That's the thing.
Yeah, I guess we will.
Yeah. Ollie, who's your first loser?
My first loser is one of your winners. It was Nicholas Jackson. He scored the winning goal, and I absolutely give him credit for that. I would have made him a winner as well if I had the space for it, but you know how we do things here. But it's like you say, Mikey, I don't tolerate in a win what you wouldn't in a loss, right? Ultimately, for a lot of the game, he was dribbling himself into alleyways. He was being selfish with his play. He wasn't passing the ball. He wasn't doing the stuff that we know he can do and we've seen him do all season. You know, all that sort of off the ball work. He just wasn't doing it. And then as well, for the equaliser, the one all equaliser, Willy Bolly is his man. And Bolly just goes and he just stays there. He just leaves him. Like, and I know he's a striker. He's not supposed to know the art of defending or whatever. But it's the football basics. You go with your man. You always do when you're defending a set piece. And I don't know. For me, I'm so happy he scored the winner. And I think it will gloss over the fact that he had a really poor game.
But I think the fact that he didn't have a good game and still scored is actually a real positive for us.
Yeah, I agree.
We've seen it so many times at Chelsea where a number nine or a striker has had a terrible game. He's missed chances and then just not scored. But Jackson yeah. does score. Jackson does score. And that's the difference.
I'm judging him by quite high standards now because he's been one of the better players this season. In fact, I put him in top three or four or five performers this season.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
As to how he usually plays, at the moment, he's playing like that and scoring a goal.
Oh,
right? Like he's doing all the extra off the ball work and scoring. So I want to see both.
Right, my second loser is our defending for the Callum Robin-Odoi goal. I mean, I'll tell you why I call him Robin, because I was watching it back on Match of the Day, and Hudson-Odoi warned us once when he cut in on the right foot on minute 71. That time, no success, hit the bar. And this is where our defence should learn a lesson. They've seen what Hudson-Odoi can do when he scored literally the same goal against Sheffield United last week. But what happened 3 minutes later on minute 74? Everyone knows this dude is not Iron Robin, but he cut in on his right foot and boom, 2-1 down. And I won't tolerate that in a win because I wouldn't tolerate it in a loss. You have to learn that lesson, guys. You know, you have to contain players like that. I mean, some may call me a bit hypercritical on it, but the week is spent studying the opposition, not watching cartoons. What any point go, we need to lock down Hudson-Odoi. Look what he did against Sheffield United. We know he could easily do it against us. Look at his pace. Look at his cutting. Look, he could score. We didn't learn it. And we didn't even learn it in game when it happened the first time to no avail.
But
I was frustrated.
I thought you were going to bring this up, Mikey. And actually, I do agree with you. But I think part of the reason they didn't was because, I don't know if you remember, about 20 minutes before that first chance, or like 10, 15 minutes before, he cuts in on his right, fakes it, cuts on his left, and then does a really nice crossover to the back post where Chris Wood hits the bar or the post. I can't remember which it was. And I feel like that really influenced, like they were thinking, crikey, like as a fullback, you're always thinking you've got to stop the cross, right?
Okay.
And like, and maybe that's just overtaken the logical thing of like, don't let him cut inside.
All right. Fair enough. Berth, second loser.
So this one's a bit of a weird one. And it does kind of link to Callum Hudson-Odoi. Chelsea fans on Twitter that moaned about him celebrating. Now, for me, I didn't really think it was that much of a celebration. Yeah, he did that thing where he pointed to his head or whatever. But he didn't exactly go mad. He didn't. No. I thought he was.
Oh, I couldn't get less of a shit.
Strange, because he scored with his foot, not his head, but hey.
Yeah, but like, it's like, I think people need to just get a grip, really, though, because it's he's not done a Van Persie, he's not done an Adebayor.
If he does an Adebayor, fair enough, like, slate him. I've got no issues, but like the fact that all he did was he was just like, he did the sort of like the hands up, calm down, then pointed to his hair. It was a really, really like muted celebration.
I don't care.
He's not a player anymore. No, Get over it.
Like the Kai Havertz thing, I didn't care about that. I cared about the performance, not the Havertz celebrating.
Well, this is the thing, and it's not like these guys are legends of the club. It's not like it's Frank Lampard scoring and then doing that or whatever. Like, it's just, who cares?
Exactly.
Like, who really cares? You know?
Right, yeah. Ollie. You know what? On that quote, I'll round off my win at losers because it's a quick one. It was the media. To quote our head coach, Mr. Pochettino, I never said I'm not happy, but it's normal. A headline is a headline. Hey, Pochettino used the move confusion. It was a one-hit KO on some of those journalists. So, Ollie, round off your losers for us.
All right. So I got two losers left. First one was Cucurella. Listen, he's been really good as of late, but I actually thought he really struggled a lot of the time in this game. He was inverting into midfield in the first half. Forrest just countered it completely. It seemed like he didn't make like a forward pass once. And then I saw him try to make one, and then I realized why he wasn't making them, because he just gave the ball away. And half the time it feels like he's just fixing his trim or whatever when he actually needs to be concentrating and on the ball. And I just wasn't happy with his overall game because I know he can do better than that. And then my final winner is actually Chalobah. This one's a bit of a nitpick because I was struggling to find losers, to be honest with you. But his first sort of like half an hour, 40 minutes, I thought he was quite poor. I know he's playing at right back, but he's been playing really well there as of late. And in the first, like, I think it was even in the first 15 or 20 minutes, there was like three separate occasions where he gave the ball away in our own final third. And I was just thinking, you cannot do that. It does not matter if you played the game for 5 minutes or 5 years or 500 years. You can't do that ever.
That's fair. Before I hit Berth with his final loser, I'll go to Chris, and he's got two. He's got Gusto, really poor, both on and off the ball. Really bad showing Hudson-Odoi inside for the goal too. Okay, this is a good one because he's name dropped Berth in this. He's put Palmer.
Why's he name dropped me in it?
Wait, what do you think he has? What do you think? What's your initial reaction to Cole Palmer being on his list?
Didn't score.
Okay. He's put. Go on.
No. I just don't see the correlation between me and Cole Palmer and Chris. Me and Chris being an absolute twat.
But... Right, Palmer. I know Berth will say this is harsh, but he's now our talisman and needs to be judged as such. And in a game where we were struggling to get going, he didn't take the game by the scruff of the neck. Still got a great assist and will always have those moments of quality. But on days where we struggle, he needs to be the one who lifts the performance. Was it harsh, Berth? Was it?
Yeah. Because he called me out, I'm going to be even more annoyed and I'm going to be even more irate. Yeah, he is harsh. I'm not saying he had his best game, but... He still showed his class. He like, I don't know what else he wants him to do because every pass he played was class. I thought he got us out of trouble a lot of times with his passing. The pass to Mudrick's one of the best assists you'll see this season. Fair enough, he didn't score, but he got stuck in. He trapped back. I just don't really know what Chris expects him to do.
I do think that is a smidge harsh because I do feel like he was trying to make things happen.
Yeah, which he always
does. Like I alluded to when I said in my winner where like I said, 3, 4, 5 times, he was making those really nice, direct, incisive line-breaking passes into the box, into the final third, and we just couldn't finish him.
Yeah.
Berth, who's your final loser?
My final loser? This could also be harsh, but I kind of was struggling a bit.
Chris, we're calling you out.
Yeah, no, I'm joking. No. I think it's probably Conor Gallagher. I don't think... He's another one, to be fair, like Palmer, that you look to him to sort of get the game by the scruff of the neck in a different way. And I just don't think he was quite at it on the weekend. But look, he didn't play badly at all. But yeah, I just don't think he was at his energetic best.
That's completely fair. Let us know your winners and losers, listeners. Tweet us or, you know, drop it in Discord. Emoji time as we drop an emoji game review. I mean, I thought I'd honour Reece James's tweet and I'll choose the alarm clock. Because it's time to wake up because we might actually, I feel we're back up. I actually feel it now. I'm excited for Brighton. Oh my word, I love this feeling. Please don't kill my hope.
You be excited for Brighton. Oh my God.
Woo! Right, what's your emoji?
I need the here comes the money sound drop. Because I was going to go with dollar signs because it was a Cobham bonanza.
There we go.
Oh. Cobham bonanza. You had James was involved. Yeah. You had obviously Hudson-Odoi was heavily involved. Aina was involved. It was just a big Cobham day out. We all loved it.
Bloody right. Berth, emojis.
I'm gonna go with the plane emoji because we're flying to Europe next year.
Oh yes. Confident. So next up, Lion of the Week. We had over the weekend, we had Chalobah and Jackson, and I'm so happy I got Jackson. So thank you, Almighty Wheel. Right, line of the midweek, because we're travelling to Brighton to play Brighton. So, Lion picks, who are we choosing?
I'm going to go with Reece James.
You know what? I've actually got to add that back into my roulette wheel because he can play now. In fact, I don't actually know who's fit and who's not.
I'm trying to think.
I feel like I should alter the wheel now.
Good game. I'm gonna give it to someone who deserves it as of late. Moises Caicedo.
Okay.
Against Soul Club as well.
Yeah. That's what I want. I want him to bounce a 10 out of 10 performance on De Zebra's head.
Right. I've got to redo my wheel because technically every player is back in action, aren't they? I mean, apart from a few. I think we're down to two.
It's
5. I don't think it's as many as 2. I don't think we'll be
no,
quite
we can
that
only
lucky.
Dream of that.
You know what? For now, I'm going to do this. Well, that would be great. For some reason, the wheel has a blank space on it. I don't know why. Doesn't matter. I'll probably get the blank space now. Well, I've got midfielder number 23. Doesn't tell me who it is. It's Conor Gallagher. It didn't tell me who it was at first. I should have known it was 23. It's Gallagher. Hey, Gallagher, I'm happy with that pick. We'll go.
I'll take that. Yeah, that's a good one.
There yeah, it's not too bad. I'm just happy that all our players are nearly fit. So, yeah. Right. We move to questions. So, Christmas questions. First up, we've got Paul who asks, if we sack Poch, can I switch clubs or support? Because if we sack him, I'll be done with Bowley. I mean, I say yes, you can, but I'd say just park the men's team in the garage like a car that you take out on a Sunday in the nice weather because, you know, you'll want to return to it eventually. You know, you know. So
I would say don't be mad at Bowley, be mad at Egbali. He's the one who seems to be calling the shots these days.
Hmm. Yeah, it does seem that way, doesn't it? Right. So an actual, a good question here. Not saying that Paul's wasn't. I'm just saying this is a question that you'll have to debate. Josh Thompson has asked, despite the goal, I feel like Mudrick is not good enough for this team. He's still not good enough for this team. Agree or disagree?
Agree. Kind of.
Yeah,
because he is.
I think he can become good enough for the team.
Yeah, but like, I think he's always going to be a good impact player to bring on. He'll always be a good impact player because of his pace. But I don't think he'll ever be good enough to start all the time. I don't think he ever will be that good.
You know what? I'm so on the fence because the goal was outstanding movement, vision and intelligence. But then he did his David Copperfield act and vanished after. So I can't
make any sense of Mudrick. Mudrick is the most bizarre player I've ever seen. He's a unicorn for that reason. Yeah,
it's amazing.
You know what I mean?
It's an amazing game changing move, but you've got to do more than that. You can't just look, I'm here, bye.
It was, you know what? It was nice to see him just hugging the touchline and actually like holding the width and then running in behind for a change. I feel like maybe he's finally starting to get
maybe.
Hopefully.
And finally, Julian has asked, was today's display a result of having an almost full squad and squad depth? Yes,
it was.
Yes, it was. But I actually think even if we didn't, we probably still would have found a way to win because this team does seemingly get results now. It's got a good team spirit. And I do think
I agree with that. I would say 6 months ago, there's no chance we win that game when we go to.
Yeah.
Didn't we lose 2-0?
Yeah, I think we did win our last game against them. Yeah.
I think it shows good progress that we're winning these games. Like the game against Man U where Palmer scored last minute. We would never have won that last year or 6 months ago. So I think we are generally making progress, even if we still are conceding loads of goals.
I feel that's pretty fair. So we end the Monday show with a game. What's this? Who is that former blue? Oh, rotation is key, listeners.
And oh, my God.
I know.
Remember that?
Yeah. Some what listeners a wanted a former blue. So without further ado, this is former blue. This one played 9 times for Chelsea. He has 1 Chelsea assist to his name. He has played for 5 clubs, including Chelsea, of course, during his career so far. He is 1 cap away from 100 appearances for his international team. And he has played with Nicholas Fulkrug, Nicholas Bentner, and Wilfried Bonny.
How many games did you say he played for us?
He played 9.
Nine. It's not many, is it?
He's clearly good, isn't he? I mean, nearly a century of appearance.
No, it's clearly all right.
Well, that depends on how good the national team he plays for. You know, it could very much be a Haaland Norway situation.
I mean, I could drop some more clues.
Yeah, can you?
Yeah, go
can
on, give
you?
Us another
because,
one.
Yeah.
We're out of practice. We're rusty.
I'm going to just pull up his Wikipedia page. He is currently 32. He turns 33 this year.
Where's he playing?
I can't do that, but I can tell you he plays in the Premier League.
Okay.
Right.
He didn't play for us very much, but is a Premier League player now.
Can you tell us where he played with those players, or would that give it away as well?
Would it?
Can you give us one of the net, like one team?
Nicholas Fulkrug played with this particular player at Werder Bremen.
No.
He has, let me have a totally look at what he won. He has won his current club's Player of the Season award 4 times.
It's not, surely not. Surely it's not him. No, I can't be, because I don't know about Nicholas Bentner with where.
He was in the Europa League squad of the season for 2014-2015. He was also, in that particular year, the same 2014-15 season, he was Bundesliga Player of the Year.
Right, I mean...
I'm so lost.
Mate, I mean, I've got a punt, but I don't think it's right at all.
Go on. At least you've got an idea. I've got nothing.
Who did he play with...
It's Kevin De Bruyne, is it? Yes, come on.
You know where he played with Wilfred Bronny. He played at
City. Yeah.
He also played with Cole Palmer. I think it was one of the, you know, when they did like the under 21 league in the Premier, that sort of thing, when they're coming back from injury. Nicholas Bentner was at Wolfsburg.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
You said Werder Bremen, I was thinking Wolfsburg, so I was like...
Yeah, I was wondering if it was Dortmund, so I was going down that kind of...
I genuinely went to write on the clues that he played for Dortmund before, because for some reason I had that he went on loan there, and he never did. I don't know why I think that. There's got to be something in that. Or maybe I'm just stupid. It's probably that. It's probably that one. With that, thank you for listening to this episode. Treat yourself well. We'll be back on Friday, because we're going to find out if we beat Brighton. We should do. Confidence, all confidence. So till then, listeners, that's us signing off. You've been listening to At The Bridge Pod, a Chelsea FC podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram by searching for At The Bridge Pod. And if you're listening on Apple or Spotify, leaving us a review is always appreciated.